Today we have two readings from Isaiah, first chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our second reading, also from Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Everlasting Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, you know, as that announcement video was happening, I'm just sitting here in my seat, and I don't know if from where you're sitting you can see it, but this tree is packed. It is packed full of angel tree gifts. And so I just want to say thank you so much for your generosity and how you've shown up this season. If you don't know, the Midtown campus is specifically helping families that are part of Dove House, which is right here in our Midtown community. And so I'm just so grateful that we get to do that together and that we get to be a congregation that gives generously in so many ways. So thank you for that. Will you pray with me as we go into our message today? God, there is just so much to be grateful for. God, this Advent season, the ways that we can show up and be present with our neighbors, the way that we can just show up here in this room and be present with each other. So God, we pray that we would be aware that you are present with us, that God, you are at work, that you are moving, that you love us, and whatever we are holding today, Jesus, you hold it right alongside us. We pray these things in your name today. Amen. Amen. Well, who here, I'm just curious from a show of hands, who here has had to buy a new appliance for your home in the past couple of years? Yes, I feel your pain. I do. I think nothing illustrates the idea that nothing lasts forever or they don't make stuff like they used to than having to buy a new appliance. And as someone who has bought, just get ready to cringe with me, a dishwasher, washer, dryer, and fridge for the house I have lived in 1 year, when I saw this meme, I both laughed and I cringed and cried a little bit. So I'll read it for you. It says, 2021 appliances, break within 2 years. 1980 refrigerator, I will outlive you and everyone you love. I am eternal. I am time itself. I felt that when I read that. I was like, this is so true, because things today are not made the way that they used to be made. I mean, we live in a world where stuff breaks, it's replaceable, it's single use, and we're just kind of used to that. And because we're used to that, because we live in this single use society, this idea that something could be forever, this idea that anything could be eternal, that is really hard to wrap our minds around. But that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Because today in our scripture, the prophet Isaiah uses this phrase and imagery to describe what God is like. He uses it to describe what hope can present as. He uses it to describe how God could work. And these images, specifically these names that we find in Isaiah 9:6, have been passed down for centuries to describe Jesus. You know, if you haven't been with us the last couple of weeks, I just want to show you that full scripture in Isaiah 9:6, because Matt read us one of the names, the name that we're looking at today. But the other names that we use to talk about Jesus are these: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So today we're going to explore that name, Everlasting Father. And before we go into it, I'm going to name the elephant in the room for some of us. And it's this word, Father. Okay? I know that this name can be charged for some of us. I know that this name can be difficult. I know when we hear people talk about God as Father, like when people pray and they say, Father God, some of us cringe and we don't know what to do with it because we've had relationships here in our lives with dads or father figures that have been really painful. And so what I don't want you to do today is I don't want you to miss what Isaiah is saying because of this word. So I'm going to offer just two things to you. First, I want to invite you, as someone who myself has a lot of junk around this word. Like, if you're there, I'm there with you. You are not alone. I want to invite you to be open that God could do something new with this word. I want to invite you to just consider that maybe Jesus can redeem the things that you've experienced and the way that we talk about God. I want to invite you to have a bigger picture of what this word can mean. But secondly, no matter, you might be like, that is not my thing. I don't have this junk. That's okay. Secondly, I want us all to understand that the meaning around this name has changed over time. And that matters because just like some of the other names we've looked at together in this series, this name, Everlasting Father, it has a lot of depth to it. And when we get into that depth, when we start to explore what Isaiah meant, we just get a much bigger picture of who God is and what Isaiah was trying to say. So to give us a little Hebrew lesson today, and I'm not a Hebrew expert, but this is interesting. When we go back to the original Hebrew, this word that Isaiah uses, it doesn't translate as Everlasting Father. What it translates to is possessor of eternity. So I saw that and I thought, okay, that is a totally different meaning than we normally have when we read this text. So what is that about? And as we break it down, I think seeing it in this light, it helps us really zero in on that idea of something being eternal or everlasting and why that is so important for Isaiah that we know that, that the people would know that. Because we need to know that this God we're talking about, this God doesn't begin, this God doesn't end. Like, this God is here forever. This God is a part of all of the things that we experience. This God has a love for us that is way too big for us to wrap our minds around, and this God is always working in ways that we can't even see or tell or happening. This is the kind of God that's present. And we can trust that this big, everlasting God isn't going to let us down. You know, in a lot of ways, this group of people that Isaiah was talking to, they had an advantage over us. They had an advantage to how they could understand a concept like this, that God was so big, that God was so eternal, because this group of people had all of these different practices they did that we don't necessarily do in the same way. And one of the practices that they did that I think really helped them understand this idea is they did this thing called Sabbath. Now, most of us know what Sabbath is, right? We talked about it this summer if you were here. It's this idea of rest. It's this idea of intentionally stopping. But there was something about this practice back in that time that was just a little bit different. Because this was an opportunity for people who worshiped this God to say, okay, God, for one day, we're going to stop. For one day, we're going to set it all down. For one day, we're going to hand it over to you and say, I don't have to be in charge, and I'm going to let you be God. I'm going to trust you with everything I have, even if for only 24 hours, which is about how long I can do it myself. And so they had these practices. And I think it's important that we know that because when Isaiah first spoke these words that Matt read for us, he was talking to people who knew how to do this. He was talking to people who had these practices. But he was also talking to people who had been through an awful lot of stuff. He was talking to people who were trying to recover their lives. If you were here with us the week after Thanksgiving when we kicked this series off, I said something to you, and I don't know if you remember it, so we're going to revisit it. I said the book of Isaiah is at its core a trauma narrative. It's a story of people who went through something terrible. It's a story of people who are trying to figure out, okay, we lost our homes, we lost our traditions, we lost our security, we lost everything we thought we could count on. So now what do we do? How do we trust our God? How do we rebuild and even try to get back to normal? And I want you to know those are the people Isaiah is talking to. Because when Isaiah comes along in Isaiah chapter 40 that Matt read for us, and when Isaiah says, hey, everyone, God is so great. God is so big. You can trust God. You can depend on God. How do you think that landed? Exactly. It landed, I think, for some people with a lot of questions, with a lot of doubt, with a lot of resistance, because there were so many people that Isaiah was talking to that they just felt like God had abandoned them. Maybe you have been in a place where you have felt like God has abandoned you. That is a hard place to be in. That is a hard place to receive a message of hope. And so when I look at what Isaiah is doing here, you know, it's Isaiah's job to remind the people of what is true. It's Isaiah's job to come along and say, hey, I know you've been through something hard, but here's who God is. Here's what's true about God. It's Isaiah's job to come to them and say, you know, this God who possesses eternity, who has everything in God's hands, this God was here before that hard thing happened to you, and this God is going to be here for a long time after. Isaiah says, I see what you're going through. I see how you're hurting. But what you've got to believe is that the struggles of right now are not going to be the struggles of forever. Isaiah says, no matter how far away you feel from God, God's not actually that far away from us. You know, I think in our world right now, we need this reminder so much. Because it's true, we live in a very different time and place than the people lived that Isaiah was talking to. But I think what hasn't changed for us as people is that we have this deep need to know that we have a God we can depend on no matter what. We need to know that somehow this massive, cosmic, everlasting God isn't just off here doing whatever a massive, cosmic, everlasting God does. This God is not disconnected or distant. This God is involved in our lives. This God sees us and knows us and is present. And I think this is a really hard concept to grasp, this idea that God could be so big, but be so present with us. And so I want to give you an example to give you a framework. It is not spiritual, okay? So we're gonna leave the spiritual realm for a moment. But my hope is this example can kind of make it make a little more sense. So my husband Zach and I are big fans of the band Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors. I don't know if any of you listen. Yeah, we got a woo. I like that. So we love them. We've been to so many of their concerts. We follow them on Instagram. We went to this like Drew special birthday show in Nashville and went on this tour where you can see this mural with his song lyrics on it. I mean, like, we're like nerdy fan status. I mean, there are times when we'll be home and I'll be scrolling through Instagram and I'll be like, Zach, did you see what Drew and the kids did today? Like, I don't know him, but I feel like I know him. And, you know, they're just so relatable. But imagine my shock on Thanksgiving at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade when Drew Holcomb was on a float. I was like, oh, that's my friend. How about that? He's there. He's famous. Yeah, he's famous. Like other people than our family know about this music. But it just made me think, you know, they have had such a personal impact in our lives, but I don't even understand the reach that their music has had. So now replace Drew Holcomb with whoever that is for you in the music world, right? You've had moments, events, memories tied to songs, tied to things like that. But you don't even know what that story looks like beyond you. So that's the non-spiritual framework for trying to understand this idea. But here's the really key difference when it comes to our God. Because the difference with God and Drew Holcomb, how about that? Is that with God, this isn't a one-sided thing. Okay, it's not just us that feels connected to God. God is connected to us too. And when it comes to God, this big God knows us. That is a hard thing to understand, but this big God knows you and sees you. And this big God is the kind of God that we can put all of our trust in. You know, Jesus is in so many ways the living example of what this looks like. Because for Jesus, I mean, his whole existence is a miracle, right? His whole existence. That's why we have this season. That's why we talk about it. We talk about this God that loved us so much that God would come to earth and be with people. But when Jesus shows up, he says, yeah, I'll wash your feet. Yeah, I'll sit at your dinner table. That's how Jesus loves us. And he loves us in a way that perfectly embodies this name, Everlasting Father. I think in no way do we see this clearer than Jesus' relationship with his disciple, Peter. Now, if you've heard me talk about Peter before, you know Peter is my all-time favorite disciple because Peter is the realest real. Peter is kind of a hot mess at times, okay? And I love him. I'm like, I relate to you, Peter. I get it. And Peter, because he is so real, he makes it hard for Jesus and, frankly, everyone else around him to love him sometimes. I mean, he is interesting. There is a scene in the Bible where Peter, in his righteous anger, just straight up cuts off a guy's ear. And Jesus is like, Peter, like, seriously, put the sword down. We don't need to lose ears today. Like, let's calm down, Peter. But Jesus doesn't just love Peter through his rage. Jesus loves Peter through his betrayal. I mean, Peter is the guy that journeys with Jesus through so many things. And then when Jesus is in his lowest, worst moment, Peter has the audacity to say, I don't know him. I've never met that guy before. It would make sense to me if Jesus would have given up on Peter. I mean, I probably would have given up on Peter. But Jesus doesn't. Because that's how Jesus loves. Jesus says Peter does not need to be any less of a wild card for Jesus to love him. He doesn't have to get his life together. Because that's just how Jesus loves people. It's forever, and it's right now, and it's not going anywhere. When we talk about this idea of an everlasting father, that's how an everlasting father loves. It's not seasonal or transactional or any of those things that sometimes really let us down in our human relationships. Like, we have all had relationships where we feel like, why did this break? Why did this end? What did I do? God's not going to be in that position with us because God's love doesn't run out. And the bottom line is that our God is in this for the long game. And that's true for you. No matter who you are or what doubts you hold or what your story looks like or what traumas you have walked through, our God isn't going to give up on you. We don't have to worry that this love is going to run out because that's just not who our God is. It can't be earned or lost. God doesn't walk away. The possessor of eternity sees you and me and says, you are worthy of being loved. Full stop. You know, I got to experience this kind of love in my real life about 28 years ago. I was, and I want you to wait for this because this is going to be the most vulnerable thing I share with you. I was on a competitive jump rope team. It was called the Rockin' Ropesters. And I think it was about 1994, so it was a prime time of my life. But the Rockin' Ropesters were a big deal, everyone. Okay, so you had, if you were a Rockin' Ropester, you had a jump rope in your hand at all times. You also had these blue shorts, you had a white polo, you had these like laces that went in your keds, and most importantly, you had a sparkly hair accessory. And so your hair had to be done just so for the Rockin' Ropesters. And I loved it, but I had a slight issue with the required hairstyle. So some of you know my story. Some of you know that my mom died when I was very young. And at the time, my dad was a single dad, and he did not necessarily have the required skill set to do the mandatory hairstyle. And so the first couple of meets I came to with the Rockin' Ropesters, I showed up looking like a mess. I know I did. Like, my hair was not right. It did not match anyone. And now that I have kids and youth activities, I know, oh, when you're trying to wrangle 30 third graders, like, that's annoying. Like, it's annoying when people do not show up and having their stuff together. So I think that the coaches could have been annoyed with me. But one of the coaches was my third grade teacher, Mrs. Odin. She knew my story. She knew what was going on. She knew that it was just a dad at home. And so she pulled me aside one day and said, hey, if you come about 20 minutes early, I'll do your hair for you. I'll get you all set up. You're going to look like everyone else. She made sure that I was not only had my hair done, but she made sure that I had a ride to every single competition, every single practice. She made sure I didn't stand out. And when you are almost tween, that's a big deal, right? So I've never really forgotten what Mrs. Odin did. I've never forgotten the way that she cared for me. But one of the most amazing things happened 20 years later. So I was at a St. Luke's function. I was sitting there. I was talking to someone who attends St. Luke's. I was talking to someone who's actually in this room. And as we were talking about our backgrounds, we were talking about where we were from, I discovered that this person who is Mrs. Odin to me was mom to her. And so it's Lee. Lee, you might recognize Lee from the donuts. She helps with our hospitality. And it was the most amazing moment because I sat there with Lee and we shared memories about her mom. I told her what an impact her mom had had on my life. And I just thought, how often do we get to sit across from someone and express how grateful we are? How often do we get to tell how someone has impacted our lives? How often do we just get to say thank you? You know, I can't explain how we ended up in the same place. I can't explain moments like that, but I've lived it. And my guess is you've probably had moments like that too. I guess you've probably had moments where you have experienced the awe-inspiring love of God, and there is just so much gratitude to be found in that. And because I've lived it, because you've lived it, that's the kind of love we can grab onto and hold on tight. You know, this is the time of year when I think we need to hold on the tightest to this love that God has for us. Because I know that this is the time of year when we gather with people, and sometimes it is really good, and sometimes it is really painful. Sometimes we get in a room with our family here in this world, and it's just complicated. There can be joy, but there can also be wounds. There can be stories. Some of you are sitting there thinking, oh, in 2 weeks, I get to see my favorite people in the world. And some of you are sitting there thinking, in 2 weeks, I don't know how I'm going to make it through a two-hour meal. There's all of that happening here. So I'm just aware when we get together over these next few weeks, we magnify what's going on in some of these relationships. So here's what I want you to hold on to as tight as you can this next few weeks. Now, this is simple, right? This is these three words. These are not groundbreaking, but they're awfully important. I want you to remember that you are loved. And here's what I'm going to say to you. If you're like, okay, this isn't for me. Like, my family's cool. I feel great. I'm included. It's wonderful. Find the person in your family who isn't. Find them. Find the person in your circle who feels like, I don't know if I belong. And tell them this message as much as you can. Because if you remember one thing from church at Christmas this year, I want it to be this. I want it to be that the God of the universe, the possessor of eternity, the everlasting Father, sees you and thinks that you are incredible, that sees you and thinks you are worthy of love without any exceptions. As a pastor, this is the most important thing that I can tell you today or any day. You are loved. You are loved by a big cosmic God who sees you and knows you and thinks that you are good. And I want you to remember that nothing and no one can change that. You know, we have a God who will go to any and all lengths to let us know that we're loved. That is the whole Christmas story. That is the whole Jesus story in a nutshell. That is the story that you and I get to live out every single day. So let's live that story and know that this everlasting Father has so much love for us. Let's pray. God, sometimes it is hard to wrap our minds around just how you love us and the other people in our world. And God, even if we can't understand it, my prayer is that we can live it. My prayer is that we can hold on to this promise that you make us, and that we can also share this promise with the people in our lives who need it. God, thank you for the ways that you love us, both in ways we can't see, but also in ways that are absolutely concrete, through the relationships we have, through the ways that we show up for each other. God, thank you for the ways that you are at work every single day. Amen.